This morning we're going to talk about an examination of a death sentence. I want us to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 through 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 through 11. Paul writes these words. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, inasmuch that we despaired even of life, that we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will deliver us. Ye also helping together by prayer for us and for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Imagine being on prison's death row. Just imagine that. Imagine. Paul had been in a situation in Asia that where he could have been killed because of his work as a preacher for the Lord. He had nearly lost his life in Lystra at one point. Turn with me to Acts chapter 14, verse 19. We see that for an example of his ministry. There were Jews which were always after him because of his faith in Christ. Acts chapter 14 and 19 says, and they came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Paul had the sentence of death in himself. He had the physical sentence of death. Paul was a servant of Christ. He was a man who knew what he believed and why he believed it. The first place this morning I want us to recognize the sentence of death. What is the sentence of death? When we recognize the sentence of death, what are we saying? The Bible declares there's an appointment which you and I are going to make. And it's called death. You turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 27. The writer of that book would tell those Christians and those people of that day and today, and it is appointed a man once to die, but after this, the judgment. You've got this life. You have the time and opportunity now is afforded you to get yourself right with God. But after death comes the judgment. It's too late then. The day we were born, we had the sentence of death. You know, the day when we were born, we started dying. Some indeed die in infancy. Some die in youth. Some people die in middle age, and some people die in old age. In fact, the psalmist talked about that. If you turn with me to Psalm, the 90th Psalm, in verse 10, we see where the psalmist talks about that. He said, talked about how many years. He talks about how we make, what the number of years are. Psalm 90 and verse 10, he writes, the days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Well, the rich, the poor, the educated, the uneducated, can't escape this sentence of death. We can't escape physical death, but we can escape spiritual death. In the second place, we recognize what the sentence of death is, but in the second place, how do we react to that sentence of death? How do you react to it? Do you act with paralyzing fear, that you fear death so much? Well, look, let's go back to the book of Hebrews, chapter 2. The book of Hebrews, chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Now we see the writer there is going to talk about this. And he's going to... Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who for the fear of death were of all their influence subject to bondage. See, Christ came and destroyed the devil. He destroyed it that we could be free. Free from what? Sin. From the bondage of sin. And he said, then we can, he delivered them. That's you, that's me. Through the fear of death. We don't have this fear of death anymore. As faithful children of God in our lives, we don't have this. We have a sentence of physical death, but we don't have the fear of eternal death. And he says, these people were in lifetime subject to bondage. Subject to bondage of what? Their sins. Their sins. And subject to bondage, they fear of dying. Some people fear dying physically because they don't want to die. None of us want to die. But we have to think that the Bible says appointed men wants to die. We die once physically, but what's your condition going to be after physical death before God? Then we see the person who's a faith, has fatalism, says, well, there's nothing I can do about it. I'm going to die. But that's true. But what's your response? What's your condition before God tonight? That's a subject under consideration today. We use an examination of a death sentence, but what's your condition before God spiritually today? Well, people who trust God doesn't have the fear of physical death, and they don't have the fear of spiritual death because they're in Christ and they're in His love and they're in abiding by the Word of God. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, we see the apostle. See, Paul was a very confident man. He knew that death was going to come to him, but he was always prepared for his before God. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. But we're back to our text. He said, when we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves. If you trust in yourselves and not in the God, then you will have the sentence, even spiritual death. But, he said, but in God which raiseth the dead. We trust in God. So we know everything that God says is right. We trust in it and we do it. And we don't trust in ourselves because we can be wrong. But God is never wrong. His word is never wrong. So there is where we need to trust. Those are the avenues we need to trust in. So then we see, because suppose we just trust in material things of this life. Well, that's not going to get us to heaven. In fact, Paul talked about that in his first letter to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. He talked about it. He says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Listen to what he said. He said, did he say godliness with money or with houses? No, that's not what he said. He says, godliness with contentment. Contentment of what? Contentment to do the will of God. He says, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. We didn't bring anything in this world. We're not going to take anything out. Everything when we die is going to be left behind. But our souls. And how is your soul going to be before God when you at judgment? Suppose we trust in men. You know, doctors may prolong our life because we have a physical problem, but they can't prevent death. Suppose we trust ourselves. That won't work either because we cannot have the foreknowledge and the superior knowledge to know what's best for ourselves, like God does for us. Thirdly, then we have to realize the significance of salvation in an examination of a death sentence. The significance of salvation to your life and to my life this morning. Salvation is deliverance from the power and the consequences of sin. And God hates sin. God doesn't want us to participate in sin. He wants us to flee from sin. He wants us to keep His word in our minds that we will not sin against Him. Today is the day to make sure you're right before God. Now is the time to make sure you're right before God. That your salvation is the same type of salvation that's taught in the Word of God. Not the type of salvation of man, but salvation God, from God. Is this what you believe today? Is this what you believe? Now is the only time. This is the only time what you have. Because the uncertainty of life makes this important. You know, there have been many people who say, well, I'll obey the gospel someday. Oh, I'll get right with God someday. Tragically, that someday never did occur in some people's lives. Because something happened. They're not living. In fact, James talks about that in James chapter 4. Let's look at starting verse 13 through verse 17. James 4, 13 through 17. James sums that up better than I can say. He says, go to now. Ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. For ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and we do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him it is sin. What's James talking about there? He says, don't make plans. We can make plans. But physically, what we want to do. But as far as your soul is concerned, you don't have the privilege, or you don't have the time, or you may not have the time to put that off. Because that's the more important thing than physical activities. He says, oh, I'll do it tomorrow. Tomorrow meant don't come to some people. This might be the last day they live on the earth. This might be your last day up on the earth. This might be my last day up on the earth. Because what is your life, James says? It's like a vapor. A vapor just, you see it instantly. It's gone. That's what life is. It appears for a little time. Then it's gone. He says, you ought to say, if the Lord lets me do this, I'll do it. If the Lord doesn't let me do this, I won't do it. But he said, if you depend upon trust in yourselves, then all such boasting there or trust is evil. And he says, if you know what to do this day and do it and it's good, do it. If you don't do it, then it is sin. That's what James said. That's the conclusion what James had talked about. Well, we see the nature of sin has the ability and the power to harden one's heart over time. Don't make this the opportunity that you have this morning saying, well, I'll do this later. I'll get right with God later. Now's the opportunity for you to take advantage of this time which God has given you. In Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, the writer would say, take heed. Or he said, pay attention, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now these are Christians who he's talking to. He said, if you have an evil heart of unbelief, and you know that you've departed from God, he said, but exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Nobody is exempt from sin. Nobody is exempt from being carried off into sin. We have to watch. We have to be attentive. There is a fact. It's a known fact that Jesus is coming. But it's also an unknown time when Christ will come. Because we go back to chapter 9 of the book of Hebrews. We looked at verse 27. Let's look at verse 28 in conjunction with that. After he says, appointed a day under men wants to die, but after this the judgment. This is the next event. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. He's done his part. He was offered on that cross to bear your sin and my sin. But unto him that looked unto him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. What we learn, we know he's coming. We don't know when he's coming. But we know that we have an examination of a death sentence physically. But don't let this examination of a death sentence apply spiritually. Because you can do something about that. You don't have to go through the spiritual death. You can have eternal life. Because Paul escaped the sentence of death in Asia. Physically. They stoned him to death. They thought he was dead at Lystra. But then he later died. And most scholars believe 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verses 7 and 8. Some of his last words he penned when he said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them that also love his appearing. Paul wasn't selfish. He's thinking, not only thinking about himself, wasn't totally thinking about himself, he's thinking about you, he's thinking about me on that day. Because he knew that he would die physically. But he said he's fought the good fight. He's finished his course. He's done everything. All his work is completed. He said he's kept the faith. He knows that the judgment that Jesus is going to give him a crown of righteousness. He said he calls Jesus the Lord, the righteous judge, which he is. He said he's not going to give it to him, but he's going to give us all a crown of righteousness that love his appearing. Death is a different experience. For the Christian. We all know we're going to die physically. We haven't examined the death sentence physically. Are you ready for the coming of Jesus today? Are you ready for that event? It's going to happen. It's going to happen. You never obeyed the gospel of Christ this morning. This is an excellent time for you to obey the gospel. Because here is the gospel's been presented to you. Now you know, you've heard it. After you've heard it, are you going to accept it? You believe it. After belief, that produces faith. And faith, then you need to repent of your sins, confess the name of Christ, be baptized for remission of your sins. Or as a child of God, you strayed away. And you know if you would die today, physically, that your relationship to God is not right spiritually. You got the opportunity to do and to make that known and get your life right with Almighty God. The song which we're about to sing, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Had you let Jesus wash your sins away? If you need to respond, we encourage you to do that. And don't go out of this building unless you're right before God. And if you need to respond, we encourage you to come now to stand and sing.